Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the third edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a brand new weekly half-hour program where you can hear from some of Maine's immigrants and refugees about their lives firsthand. Together, we will visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as Mainers. Joining me live here in the studio today is Patrick Kambu. He arrived in Maine from Democratic Republic of Congo by way of Poland, where he earned a master's degree in international law. Welcome, Patrick, and thank you for being my guest on New Mainers Speak today.
Thank you very much, Kate, for inviting me.
So you are from Congo, and I understand that you grew up there and lived there till you were about 19. Is that right?
Yes.
And then can you help us paint a picture of what Congo looked like when you were a kid? What your days looked like, what your street looked like, what your school looked like?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's been a long time. I remember my day was looking like when I wake up in the morning, the first people I want to see was my friends, because I have friends with who I was going along very well. So instead of, you know, wishing to see my parents when I wake up, the first thing I was like, oh, where is Eric? Where is this? So I was trying to get ready so that I can meet my friends. And what my parent was doing was to actually stopping me, you know, like, no, this is the morning, you know, you need to eat first before to go and see your friend, maybe sleeping, or do you think their parents will accept you to come there in the morning? So generally, I love my friends so much at the time, and basically my day, I was spending my day with my friends, and this was in a vacation time, but in school time was different. And I had to go to school and come back like at half around 1:30 at the house and find something to eat, do my homework, and go and see my friends again, and then come back like before 7 at home and try to eat a dinner and then go to bed for the next day. That's how my day looks like.
You are a social creature from the very beginning, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Did you have any pets or any animals that were around in the neighborhood?
Oh, I love dogs. I always had dogs, but my favorite dog already died, and his name was Blackie. I loved him so much. I remember when somebody, you know, he was always looking after me. So if someone like approach me, and if he doesn't feel comfortable, he will look at that person. If he see like that person come and kind of pushing me or yelling at me, he will come slowly behind that person and jump after him.
He was
a very intelligent dog. And the day he died, I was really touched, and it was really difficult to forget about him. Until now, I remember him.
Yeah, he's in your heart.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your family in Congo? And you're from Kinshasa, is that correct?
I am from Kinshasa,
that's
yes.
A rather urban
yes.
area.
Yes.
And
yes.
So what did your family, what was the structure of your family there? Mom, dad, brothers, sisters?
Oh, my dad is was a teacher, my mom a nurse, and my sisters also, they go to school. They finish school and the college. And myself also, and I went to Poland, and then I'm here now. I'm also doing my master's degree in leadership at Southern New Hampshire University.
Southern New Hampshire University.
Yes.
What city is that in?
Actually, they have a branch here in Brunswick.
Oh.
That where I go, but I think the main campus is supposed to be is in New Hampshire.
I see. So, you left Congo around 19 and went to Poland.
Yes.
Why Poland?
Because I received a scholarship. I didn't have a choice. Probably if I had a choice, I wouldn't choose maybe Poland. I would choose France, maybe Belgium, because those are the countries that most of the Congolese like to travel to. Yeah.
Yes, you had an affiliation with those countries already.
Yeah, we had an affiliation.
You grew up speaking Lingala?
Yeah, French, Lingala also.
And Lingala. So then you went to Poland and picked up a little Polish.
Yeah, I went to Poland and I had to go to the Polish school first for 1 year. And then I went to the University of Warsaw. And then I also learned Polish there for 2 more years while I was doing my study.
And your study is in international law.
Yeah, public international law, yes.
And tell me how that that course of study has influenced your life since then. How do you use that? How do you hope to use that?
Oh, that's a good question. Actually, I didn't go to the law school because I wanted to be a lawyer and go to the court and defending people. I saw myself as a social justice agent. You know, I came from a country with a lot of social studies, where social studies play a big role. Where the country is divided, and there's a lot of inequality. So I wanted to be a leader, but a good one. So, and my question was, okay, which kind of study should I go for to become a leader? So when I look at the politician in my country, most of them were going to the law school. So then I choose to go to the law school because I thought that will help me to become a good leader. But after graduating from the law school, I just realized I wasn't still a leader. And but what the law school gave me, it's kind of helping me think logically and about different situations, to also fight advocate for people's rights. And so that was a solid background for me for what I wanted to become, you know.
A social justice advocate.
Yes.
Beautiful. The world could use more social justice.
Exactly.
And you've brought your skills here to Maine. I was looking online and saw that you had done some training with ICL.
Yes.
Can you tell us about ICL here in Portland?
Well, ICL is an institution that focuses on leadership development. They have a lot of good programs, but the one I went to was called Intensive Program, Leadership Program. And it was very helpful for me. And I think almost a 9 month training, very intense. It's a very pragmatic program. So when you get out from that program, you become pragmatic too in what you're doing. You are more practical, yes. Not just in theory, but practice. And that was very helpful for me. And it built my self-confidence. And it just make me feel that I could do more for others and for myself.
I saw a quote that you had written that I really loved, and I'd like to share that. It says, "The true legacy of a leader is not his academic achievements, but only the quality of his deeds and the character of his mind and heart."
Exactly.
Wow. Social justice is infused into that, isn't it?
Exactly.
You get the academic achievements so that you can be a better leader.
Absolutely. And I always believe that to be a good leader, you just don't have to stand up one day and become a leader. That's good, but also you need education. You need to do education help you to be professional in what you're doing. So lack of education sometimes can actually lead you to lack of professionalism in what you're doing. And you can actually make a lot of mistakes when you haven't had an education. So that's why I found out that education is the foundation. The education was the foundation of who I want to become. So to go to learn a lot about the field about my future career and my profession and leadership. So that's why I went to do my master's degree in leadership, to learn more, to understand many things.
Sounds like you have a life long tradition of learning.
Absolutely, because I understood that as a leader, you have to learn every day. So the goal is to get better every day.
So your parents saw this coming, didn't they? They must have known when you were so invested in your friends and your community as a child, and you had an eye on being a lawyer and a social justice activist, that you were kind of a born leader. If I were to talk to your parents today, what do you think they would tell me about you?
First of all, they wouldn't be surprised of who I am today.
Because they're not surprised.
They would tell you that's his dream. He always dreamed to be a good leader, not just a leader, a good one. He wants to help people, want to work for, advocate for people. So they really won't be surprised. That's the first thing. They think they would tell you that Patrick loved those kind of things since he was a child. And I remember playing with my brother, my little brother, my young brother. When we were playing, he was kind of doing like simple thing. Myself, I was building like house, you know, myself. Big house.
Big plans always.
Yeah, big things. He was like, oh, Patrick, why do you like those things? So since I was young, like 5 years old, I was being built big things. I was dreaming big things. And as a leader, you cannot dream small. You have to dream big.
And Patrick Kembu is a leader. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio Broadcasting in USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. And Patrick Kembu is originally from Democratic Republic of Congo and now also from Portland, Maine. He's been working toward being a leader his whole life. And here in Maine, he arrived about 5 or 6 years ago. And since that time, he has been elected to be the president of the Congolese Community of Maine, which is a group that's about 250 people strong. And if you're interested in learning more about that, you can find them at cocomaine.org. Can you tell us about the group that you're president of?
Thank you very much, Kate. Actually, the mission of CocoMaine is to facilitate integration of the Congolese people here in Maine. That's the first mission, and also to promote our culture and unity among us too. That's the first. That's our mission actually at CocoMaine. So, what we do for the unity, we organize many events that bring us together, help us to get to know each other much better. And because we understood that without unity, it's hard to do much without unity. So that's why we do a lot of events in order to help our folks to come together and be united. And we also facilitate integration. So what we do is when somebody comes, we make sure that person gets all the basic information that they need, like those service providers, we help them to be familiar with actually organization that deal with immigrants and that provide some help or assistance for immigrant Catholic charity. And we have DHS, GA, and the list is very long, so that when they come here, they at least know what to do.
How to get started.
Yeah, because it's very difficult when you come in a new place and you don't know anybody.
And sometimes don't know the language.
Exactly. So we try to be a family for them.
I'm sure you have rescued many hearts, you know, that come scared and find that there are people that can talk to them and help them and get them started.
Exactly.
And also then as they grow and their English grows, you help them with entrepreneurship, is that correct?
Yes, we also focus on entrepreneurship. So we encourage them to start opening some small businesses and NGO where they can solve some problems. Because we are here also to as a community, everybody has to have as a mission to come and solve a problem. When you create a business, you serve, but also you solve a problem. Hmm. When you create an NGO, it's not a business really, but you get paid. You will definitely get paid, but you also solve a problem, which means you are addressing an issue. So that's our goal, to see everybody start focusing on entrepreneurship, which kind of problem do they want to solve. Because CocoMaine won't be able to solve everything. I think even the city of Portland is not able to save all people from Portland problems. So that's why they have different structure organizations that actually address different issues that they think are important for people from Portland or Maine in general.
I love that balance of art and science. You know, it's the right brain, the left brain. There's the cultural component and the support that's really needed.
Exactly.
And one of your big cultural components is International Women's Day, which for our listeners is celebrated with great finale. I mean, great. What am I trying to say? It's a big festivity all over the world, except for America. And so cultures that come and resettle here often bring their celebrations with them. And there have been several celebrations throughout Portland this year for International Women's Day. And your community has a big event. That was last night?
It was last night.
Can you give us highlights of how that went?
Oh, everything went perfect. We had more people than last year, even though last year we had also a lot of people. But this year was more people. It was more diverse. We had a lot of people from Sudan. We have speakers who came from different from different African communities. We have people from Burundi. We have people from other communities too. So it was much more diverse and inclusive. So that made a huge difference. Even though last year was also some kind diverse, but not as much as it was yesterday. Sorry.
And you have African food?
We had African food. We had great speakers. We had a concert. We had poem for my children. We had our young girl say thank you to their mom for everything they've done for them. We have fashion show too. African fashion show, of course.
I went to this event last year, and I truly loved the whole thing.
Oh, so you can tell more about what's happened last year.
The night builds. You know, it's very slow at first. People trickle in over time.
Exactly.
The speakers, then the singers.
Exactly.
It really builds into a frenzy for the fashion show.
Exactly.
Right?
And then everything explodes, like poof.
Yes, it's over. I didn't know how much fun the fashion show would be, but the fashions are bright and beautiful with large hats and colorful costumes.
Exactly.
It is fun.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
So is it also a fundraiser for your organization?
Yes, it's actually a way of doing also fundraising. That's why we charge a little bit some money to help the community keep going, because we need money in order to do many things. Without money, it's kind of hard to address different issues, to have the community. You know, we still have a lot of challenges, but even though we know that we will do our best to actually overcome those challenges, but we still have money at least to deal with issues that we have now. So it's very important for us to always, we ask them a few donations or a little bit of money when we organize something.
If someone listening today were to want to find you, how could they find you?
That's a good question. We have a space that was offered to us by Learning Walk, where we actually give basic computer classes. So if somebody wants to find us, it can go there from 9:30. We are open from 9:30 to actually 12. Mm-hmm. So there's always someone there. Or they can call us at 207-632-4325. They can also go to our website, cocomen.org. They can also go to our Facebook page, the Congolese Community of Men. They can send us a message, and we will always respond to that.
That's great to know it's out there. Yeah. And then the Learning Works is right next to Reiki Elementary School. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good. So what organizations or associations besides the Congolese Community Maine have been especially helpful to you since you've come to this country in Portland here?
To me, as Patrick?
Yeah, so do you have special associations or clubs or affiliations here?
Oh, actually, when I came here, I had friends from different communities. I have friends from Sudan. I have friends from Burundi, from Rwanda. And I remember the person, because I used to have a show here.
On
WMPG. Uh-huh. And the person who introduced me, who actually gave me the connection, was from Rwanda. His name was Eric. He used to have a show here too. So I had friends from different African community. And I remember my first leadership training, It was my my friend from Sudan, Monsieur, who actually connected me also to the program and actually found I get in the program and I enjoy it. So I was not only focusing on Congolese, but also on people from different different community too.
When you think of when you arrived in Maine from Poland, what's your first memory of Maine?
When I arrived here.
Yes. Did you fly in?
Yeah, fly. And when I arrived here, one thing that was kind of surprising me was even people that I don't know was saying hi to me. So I was like, do you know me? Do I know you? So I was kind of, I was scared in the beginning. It's just a culture. Or I will meet somebody in the bus and start just talking to me about the weather and now it's nice today. And so I said, in my culture, before you even talk to somebody, you need to know him at least. But how come here, they don't know me, but they're talking to me. And after a few months, I realized that, oh, kind of, that was, I think, a culture or a way of being nice to someone. So I did really appreciate it. And I think it's encouraged me, it's motivated me also to become nicer to other people too, even though I don't know them.
That's really interesting to me. I always find that interesting. And so on the even on the bus, strangers would
exactly
just embrace you as somebody sitting next to him on the bus.
Exactly. And that's something I think you don't really find even, I mean, where I came in Poland and I think also all the country in Europe, that somebody doesn't know you and just say hi to you. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And there are things that sometimes, you know, manners can have, you know, sometimes that they may not really appreciate it until you go outside and see the difference. We coming from outside, you can tell the difference. You know, sometimes you don't appreciate what you have the way you have to appreciate it. But when you go outside, you see the difference. How people are nice to you and how people that you don't know say hi to you. And it looks like they care about you, you know.
Now, New England is not actually known for being incredibly warm and friendly. So have you traveled around the United States at all?
Oh, not that much. But comparing to where I come from,
yes.
That's always all about comparing from where
well,
I came from.
Well, I think
from.
That's very interesting. You have yes. a different lens to look at it through
exactly.
that brings a different
maybe someone who lives like in New York when it comes to, oh, no, man, is this, is that. But from where I come from, and I remember one day when I was in Poland, I was attacked by people called skinhead.
Oh.
They were racist and they beat me up seriously. And the reason was, oh, this is not your country. This is not your country. You need to go back where you come from. So now coming from those kind of places, I didn't say that Poland was bad, but that's one of the experience, the situation I faced there. I also had a lot of good experience also. But coming here to see, you know, people, to see that people can at least consider your presence here. It was already enough for me.
Hmm. You know. I'm sorry to hear that happen to you.
I didn't say, I don't say that Maine is a perfect place.
No.
But that was good for me.
I'm skinheads.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have a family here and I was kind of wondering if you could tell me a little bit about who's made the difference to you in your life here in Maine, and also if you would like to say hello to your family.
I would like to say hello to my wife, Ariane. Ariane Kambu, and we just had a son. Now he's seven. He's 7 months.
Oh.
His name is Joshua Patrick. And we have a daughter, Andrea, who is 12 years old. So I like to say hi to them, and I love them very much. And I think my family has been very supportive in what I'm doing in the community. You know, it's always good to have a foundation, and the family, it's the foundation of also your success. The more you're happy inside your family, and when you go outside, you will reflect that happiness. So I can't thank them enough for that.
Thank you for saying so. You have a happiness that you reflect through your face. Our listeners can't see that, but Patrick's face is bright and his smile is wide, and he has a generous spirit and coming in today to share just a little bit of his story. Thank you for coming in, Patrick.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening. I hope you will join us each Sunday from noon to 12:30 for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. Next week, my guest will be Mia Tahobari, originally from Burundi. She was a social worker in her country and has become a CNA here to help support her family on her way to doing more professional social work in this country. She's charming, and I hope you will join us for that. If you are curious about this New Mainers culture going on all around us in Portland, Maine, I can offer you two things to look into for the week. There's Rock Around the World, which is going to be Friday, March 21st from 7 to 11 p.m. It'll be at the Italian Heritage Center, and there will be dances, and the event helps fund the multilingual summer program, a four-week intensive summer school for kids. And you can get tickets at 874-8135. And here at USM, on Tuesday, March 25th, Contesting and Celebrating Citizenship, Commemorating the 50th Anniversary of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 is the name of a lecture that's going to be given. The reception's at 5 p.m. and the program's at 6 p.m. on the 7th floor of Glickman Library at USM. Again, thank you very much to Patrick Kambu. Thanks so much. Have a good afternoon.